Michelle Friedner is a medical anthropologist at the Stony Brook School of Health Technology and Management in New York. She recently published Valuing Deaf Worlds in Urban India. This book investigates the social, political, and economic value of Bangalore's deaf community. The assumption is that this is the most stigmatized community in India's complicated class system. Michelle points out that, in fact, this may not be the case. Actually, the hearing world makes a point to communicate and make meaning happen with the deaf community. Michelle Friedner herself is deaf, so her insight is particularly unique to this case. She joined me from New York via Skype.
So in Bangalore, I spent time with a deaf blind man who worked in a government bank as a photocopier. Like, his job was to make photocopies. And he never had any sort of human resource discussion about what it was that he needed, what kind of accommodation that he needed. Rather, what he did was develop these sort of informal accommodations with his coworkers. So people would come up to him, and when they wanted a certain size copy, they would trace the size of the copy on his hand, and then they would write the number of copies that they wanted on his hand as well. Similarly, he sort of memorized all the mailboxes, like all the names on the mailboxes. But it was a very informal process, you know. And then he would have a friend, a very close friend, who would pick him up from work and bring him home, and who would do the same thing in the morning at times. And it seemed like he and his coworkers were very much working together to create a workspace for him that was productive and harmonious and habitable. And so I saw things like that happening all the time. The people who would informally interpret for each other, people who would come up with gestures and home signs, people on the street who were much more willing to gesture and make meaning happen, work toward making meaning happen, than we see here. So I really want to sort of challenge this idea that deaf people or disabled people are the most stigmatized of the stigmatized and the most poor of the poor and the most marginalized, you know, because I really do feel like the experience that I have and that my research shows that that's not true, and that we do see loss of everyday informal accommodations that people are making together. And I think that that's something that's very important to think about. Now, in terms of value, right? So one of the things that I tried to do in my work was like, okay, so we used to think about disability in terms of stigma, or we used to think about deafness in terms of stigma. So let's move to value. What kind of value is deafness producing? And similarly, what are these sort of connections and tensions between stigma and value? And so when I think about value, it's not always positive. In the sense that it's not always positive for deaf people themselves. Sometimes it's negative. So in my work, I talk about how companies, multinational companies, who, by the way, would be covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act in the United States, but who are not covered by disability law in India, they're able to extract value from deaf workers, from disabled workers. They become the new sort of immobile workforce. So we have in India, you know, especially in Bangalore, we see the emergence of the business process outsourcing sector. Many social science scholars have shown that those jobs are actually not very good jobs, in the sense that they're not really a sense of what's going to happen in the long term. There's not very many opportunities to move up a ladder. So there's very much a revolving door of workers. And this really frustrates companies' attempts to have a malleable and manageable pool of workers, which is what they want. And so what they've realized is that they can hire disabled workers, and that disabled workers will be the new immobile workforce.
But again, there is a sense of exploitation taking place because Bangalore's deaf community is being tracked into working with multinational corporations rather than what necessarily may make more money and utilize their skills and motivations.
They don't quit or attrite as quickly as non-disabled workers. So it's a new immobile workforce. They get free training from NGOs who work in this area, who have connections with these corporations, so they don't have to train the employees as much. You know, they can source them through these NGOs. And then they get brownie points in the form of corporate social responsibility points. You know, they get to create these beautiful newspaper articles and advertisements about how wonderful they are because they're hiring disabled people. And so what I've seen happen in Bangalore and in other Indian cities is that because, like, as I said, the state is pulling back, right? So you have the emergence of all of these non-governmental organizations or private entities that are doing the work that the state used to do of education and job training and job placement and all these other things. So you have these NGOs, you have a lot of them. These NGOs have decided that training deaf people in computers and doing business process outsourcing work is the best thing to do. So you have deaf people who are going to these NGOs and who are saying, you know, I want to become a chef, or I want to become an artist, or I want to become a deaf teacher. And the NGOs are saying to them, no, you're deaf, you should use a computer. A computer is good for deaf people because you don't have to talk to other people. So you have this sort of tracking of deaf people en masse into these back office processes where they're doing data entry, you know, they're merging files, they're scanning things, and so forth. So you really do see the emergence of this whole sort of sector that's sort of developing around disability employment, placing disabled and deaf people in these jobs, and who's benefiting. It's not necessarily deaf people who are benefiting. It's not necessarily disabled people who are benefiting, but it's the companies. And so we see value being extracted or taken from deaf people in the form of economic value. I'm very fearful about the future of these industries. What we've seen is that they're moving. There's no allegiance to India. So the business process outsourcing sector is going to move to whatever is cheaper. Right now, India, I think, is only marginally outperforming to the Philippines in terms of the value per dollar. And so for me, thinking about the deaf people who I work with, I want them to have jobs that are stable, that are sustainable, and that give them different kinds of value as well. And I'm worried about the tracking of them into these kinds of businesses. So let me give another example. I have a colleague who is a deaf painter. He figured out that the people who walk, it's mostly old retirees who walk in this park in Bangalore in the morning, between 6 in the morning and 8 in the morning. And he's figured out that he can go to this park between 6 and 8. He can set up a tea stand in which he's going to sell green and black tea. He boils the water on this old stone pot. So he actually makes a real fire, and I guess people think that the water tastes better when it's boiled on this wood stove. And so he sells the tea, I think, for maybe, it's either 5 or 10 rupees a cup. And he says that, you know, he does this 7 days a week from 6 to 8 in the morning, and he makes about 25,000 to 30,000 rupees a month. And he does this on his own. Meanwhile, if he were to go to one of these NGOs that does job training, they would look at him, they would assess his skills, and they would say, oh, you should go work for Cafe Coffee Day, which is a new coffee chain in India that's very much similar to Starbucks. So they would train him in like a soft skills class where he would learn how to go to work on time, how to be responsible, how to smile nicely, how to have good hygiene, and they would teach him to make coffee. And then he would get a job working for a coffee shop, and he would get paid at most 7,000 rupees a month. So this funneling of people into the private sector is perhaps foreclosing other opportunities that people might eventually take advantage of. I guess what I'm calling for is a more expansive view of the value that deaf people can bring to the world, not just economic value, and an awareness that deaf people are being exploited in these situations. They are being taken advantage of. And in my work, I try to think about it in terms of social value, you know, the social value that deaf people get from each other and that they produce for each other. Then I think about it in terms of the political value. So the state gets political value from the way that deaf and disabled people are treated in the country. You know, so India is getting political value from saying that it has signed and ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And then economic value, the value that corporations and companies are extracting from deaf people. So those are the three kinds of value that I think about in my work.
That was Michelle Friedner, medical anthropologist at Stony Brook School of Health Technology and Management in New York. Her book is called Valuing Deaf Worlds in Urban India. This was an abbreviated interview, and you can listen to the extended version at intersectionsradio.wordpress.com. I'm Sarika Mehta, and you're listening to Intersections Radio.